Good morning, and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McClavey welcoming you to our time together. This morning, we're going to have a message out of the Book of Acts, where we learn more about the coming of the Holy Spirit, because this is Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost, of course, is the time in the New Testament where we read about the arrival of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus had promised. It was the arrival of the Holy Spirit which began really the church of Jesus Christ. And so we're excited about this message today, and we're excited that this is Pentecost Sunday, a time when we are reminded that indeed we do have the power of the Holy Spirit with us now to guide us in our daily lives. So as we prepare this morning to hear the word proclaimed, let us have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do thank you for the arrival of your Spirit upon the earth. We thank you, Lord, that the Spirit is with us today, that the Spirit is available to guide us and direct us in our daily lives. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us the courage to allow the Spirit to do that kind of leading. Help us, Lord, to trust in the Spirit. And we recognize, Lord, that the Spirit, along with God the Father and God the Son, makes for the entire Trinity of which our faith is grounded. And so we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word. We pray that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us to understand. We pray all of this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. So in honor of Pentecost, let's hear the story as recorded in the Book of Acts. This is chapter 2, verses 1 through 24. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then Peter goes on to say, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. This is the word of the Lord. Well, Scripture is full of good advice and good instruction on how to live our lives. Yes, we talk frequently about the teachings of Jesus and how if we could just follow the teachings of Jesus, our lives would be so much different. But that certainly is the dilemma of the Old Testament law. Now, we know that the first five books of the Old Testament is what we know as the Pentateuch, which is the law. It tells you what you should and should not do, but it does not give you the power to perform. And it says, do this, don't do that. But in the Old Testament, in the law, it does not give us help in terms of how to live our lives to be in obedience to what the law proclaims. Even the Sermon on the Mount by itself can be a problem. That, of course, is the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament. Have you read it recently? Have you tried to do what Jesus says we're supposed to do? If that were all that Jesus had to offer, it would surely be difficult news for us, because even though Jesus' teaching is beautiful, his ideals are noble, and the way he teaches his disciples is certainly admirable, who in the world can live by Jesus' teaching? And that's not all that the disciples heard. They saw Jesus cure people who were sick. He brought at least two dead men back to life. He restored sight to the blind. He put lame folks back on their feet. And then he turned to the disciples and said, go and do even greater works than these. So is this good news? Why, he might as well have told them to fly to the moon. Because at first blush, it appears that Jesus is telling his disciples to perform the impossible, to achieve the unattainable, to climb the insurmountable. And furthermore, after Jesus' resurrection, the disciples remembered his words to them, where he said, love one another even as I have loved you. Well, who in the world can love like that? Now, Jesus knew that his disciples needed more than instruction. They also needed power. And so Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem until they received the promised Holy Spirit. He said, you will receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But you've got to wait for it. When you have received that power, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, instruction plus power is good news. If it had not been for the events recorded in the second chapter of Acts, we wouldn't be here today. The cross is good news about God's love. The empty tomb is good news about life eternal. Both the cross and the resurrection, though remarkable demonstrations of the love and power of God, would have been forgotten events in ancient history if the Holy Spirit had not provided the dynamic for the witnesses to go into all the world and speak that good news. Jesus knew exactly what his disciples needed. He was going to supply that very need. The excitement and enthusiasm felt by the disciples following their encounter with the risen Lord were mere human emotions, no match for the opposition that they would encounter. They needed more than just human enthusiasm. They needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Without him, they could not begin to do the job. The record of events recorded in the second chapter of Acts is very straightforward. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And then it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now I want you to notice the symbolism here. The record does not tell us that the wind blew upon them. It does not say that fire fell on them. It says a sound like the blowing of a violent wind filled the whole house. What seemed to be tongues of fire rested on each of them. So they heard something like wind and they saw something like fire. Well, Jesus had told them during his teaching ministry that the Holy Spirit was like the wind that blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. You can't see the wind. You can only see its effects. The tongues that seemed like fire that rested on each of them reminded them of the holy presence of God. They remembered Moses in the wilderness being startled by a bush that seemed to burn yet wasn't consumed. And as Moses approached the bush, he heard the voice of God from the bush saying, "Moses, this is holy ground. Take off your sandals." When burnt offerings were consumed by fire in the temple, that fire symbolized the consuming righteousness of God. And these New Testament people knew what those symbols stood for. A throng of people gathered around the temple, wondering what had happened. It was to this astonished, curious throng of people that Peter began to preach. But before he even started preaching, this mixed multitude that had come from all the countries in that part of the world heard in their own language everything that was said. The Holy Spirit had simply broken the communication barrier so that every one of them could hear the gospel in his own language. It was a gift of hearing. And then, what did they hear? They heard witnesses to the power of our risen Lord. Now, how did they react? Well, they were amazed, astonished, perplexed. Others, feeling like they had to find some kind of natural explanation, said simply that these people had had too much to drink. The power of the Spirit so controlled them with such a marked effect on their lives that some people who heard assumed such exuberance could only be the result of drunkenness. But you see, something extraordinary had happened. Something had changed their lives. The Spirit of God had fallen upon them, and by that one act had initiated for all Christians down through the centuries the possibility of the indwelling power of God. It was after this outpouring of the Spirit of God that we find the church engaging in effective communication of the gospel. Now please note the sequence here. First you have the teaching and the instruction of Jesus. Then came the filling with the Holy Spirit. And then the disciples were equipped for effectively serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want to suggest to you that the same sequence has to be followed today. We must know Jesus Christ and what he did by his life, death, and resurrection. And then we must be filled with the indwelling of his Holy Spirit before we can ever begin to effectively serve our Lord. Here we find the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to his disciples. This was the beginning of the Christian era, God taking up residence in the lives of his people in the person of the Holy Spirit. And from that day to this, those who have opened their lives to Jesus Christ, who have responded in faith to him, are people in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. The New Testament makes it plain that when we receive Jesus Christ, we are baptized. We are identified with the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be children of God. But those who are led by the Spirit are indeed children of God. And so the Holy Spirit was given. Now remember that Jesus said, as recorded by John in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." It's not enough to open our lives to Christ. We've got to turn every room in the house over to him. If we shut him up in some little closet of our lives, he can't begin to fulfill in us what God wants for us, and that is, of course, the very best. The Apostle Paul later was to warn Christians not to quench the Spirit. That is, he says, don't pour cold water on the spark of his presence. We can do that by our insensitivity to him, by disobeying the Spirit, or by simply choosing to run our lives ourselves instead of listening to the Spirit and trusting his guidance. In Acts 19, we read that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Well, I suspect that there are some people today who are sincere believers in Jesus Christ who are not aware of the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells in them and is able to give them the power to live as Christians should live. Now, when the crowds gathered around those disciples on the day of Pentecost, Peter took the opportunity to explain what was happening. He witnessed to Jesus Christ as the crucified and risen Lord, And on that day, over 3,000 people believed in Jesus and became a part of his church. It's very important for us to understand that here we see a demonstration of what Jesus said would happen when the Holy Spirit came. Jesus said, "When the Holy Spirit comes, he will bear witness to me." He calls attention to Jesus Christ. And where the Spirit is genuinely at work, it is Christ who is lifted up, not the Holy Spirit. Where Christ is lifted up, there you can be sure the Spirit of God is at work. Now, friends, I believe that that first Pentecost was unique. It was unique in the same way that the birth of Jesus was unique. Remember, when Jesus was born, there was an angel choir to announce his birth. There were shepherds who heard the music and went to see. There were wise men who saw a star and came to worship at the manger. But we don't expect those things today. And so it is that Pentecost is not to be repeated with this same unique occurrences, but rather it is our openness and obedience to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to effectively serve our Lord. Those disciples were obedient to Jesus, and they stayed in Jerusalem until the promise had been fulfilled. It was while they were gathered in a caring and praying fellowship, open and available to the promise of Jesus being fulfilled in them, that the Spirit was poured out upon them. Yet just the experience was not enough. After the experience, they thought back to the old covenant and to what God's Word had said in the past. And Peter remembered that this new phenomenon was as old as the prophecy of Joel. They found the written word confirmed what they experienced that day. That's why Peter quotes from the prophet Joel in his sermon. Well, Pentecost was the day Jesus fulfilled his promise to his followers. It's the day to remind ourselves that Jesus Christ has not left us on our own. From Pentecost to this day, every believer in Jesus is given the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit is like the wind. He blows where he wills." You can see the effects of the wind, but you can never see the wind itself. So how do you catch the wind? You can't package it in a box. You can't chase it down and collar it with a leash. It's just air. And simple air is capable of sustaining life, yes, but it's powerless to drive a sailboat across the water, or to lift the soaring eagle to greater heights, or to turn the blades of a windmill. You can't catch the wind. I'm afraid that sometimes we have tried to catch the wind. We've tried to catch the wind in our own little theological systems. We have our own definitions and outlines. We say, here is where the Holy Spirit fits into my faith. And there are those Christians who, having some kind of a special experience, say, this is the Holy Spirit. And unless you have experienced this particular kind of feeling in your life, you are not filled with the Spirit. They have boxed the Spirit into their experience. Too often we treat the Holy Spirit as if he were an idea to be debated and not a person to be received. Essentially, we've closed him in so that he becomes air that sustains life, but that's all. But if you can't catch the wind, at least remember that the wind can catch you if you have your sails unfurled and are ready for the adventure of a lifetime. If the wings of your soul are spread to be lifted by the Spirit's power. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is like the wind that blows where it wills. And you see its effects, you can feel its force. But the Holy Spirit cannot be wrapped in a package. You can't contain Him, but you can be filled with Him. You cannot tie Him down, but you can be released by Him. You can take the ropes off the sails of your life and catch the driving force of His presence. You can spread the wings of your soul to catch His power and be lifted to undreamed of heights of living in joy and love. My dear friends, you can't catch the wind, but you can be caught by the wind. You can't take the Spirit and make Him fit your mold, but you can welcome Him and let Him remold and reshape you. So today we ask the question, has Pentecost happened in your life? Have you discovered the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you through our faith in Jesus Christ? It was teaching plus power that made the early disciples effective in their living and in their service. Well, the teaching of Jesus plus the power of the Holy Spirit are truly good news for us today. Sisters and brothers in Christ, feel the wind. Welcome the Holy Spirit. And experience God to the fullest. To the glory of God. Amen. Well, friends, on this Pentecost Sunday, we have the joy of hearing Alan Vest perform for us Spirit Song, a song written by John Wimber, but today arranged and performed by Alan Vest. Hear now, Spirit Song.
Oh, come and sing the song with gladness, as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears and sadness. Give Him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into His life, His name.
Thanks to Alan for that great song, and how appropriate for Pentecost Sunday. Well, friends, let us remember that it was the prophet Joel that said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Well, indeed, God fulfilled that promise, just as Jesus had told his disciples. The Holy Spirit arrived, and their lives would never be the same. And the same can be true for each of us. Let us welcome the Spirit into our lives. Friends, have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.